Okay, it's so good to be back with you for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, David Gerwitz from Charles Nenner Research. All right, well, it's a pleasure to have David Gerwitz back on the show today. He is the Managing Director at Charles Nenner, and this is his second appearance on the show. Hello, David.
Hey, Chris. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Last time we had a long discussion about one of our favorite mathematicians called Euler.
We sure did. And, you know, it's funny that you would mention that because the more one delves into his work, the more fascinated one becomes with it, and the more one realizes just how little we know. It makes you wonder how someone a couple of hundred years ago, without the internet, without computers, and everything was by hand.
Well, let me tell you some of his quotes. And your listeners are big brains. A lot of them wrote to us afterwards, so they'll appreciate it. When he lost his right eye, right, he said, "Now I have less distraction." And then he was quoted, "Madam, I have come from a country where people are hanged if they talk." He said this. He excused his quietness in a conversation. So this is a guy that came up with more than probably anyone in the last 1,000 years, other than maybe Tesla. And he was so humble and saw things in a different way. And you mentioned about, you know, hand calculating and things. Charles Nenner, I've had the pleasure of working with him. And your listeners should go to charlesnenner.com and request, a free sample of the work for a month. He came up with this system of predicting based on being in medical school. And then he heard his professor said people get admitted to insane asylums all at the same time. After they had said that we need more doctors during full moons because there's greater births, he said, that makes sense. That cause and effect, full moon, greater births. But insane asylums, they're getting admitted at the same time? So Charles came to New York and wound up going to the library and by hand started finding top-to-tops in IBM. And that's how he came up with the cycle thing, by hand. And now we have obviously pretty fast computers and thousands of clients, and Charles predicted the top and goal, the top and Apple, a lot of tops and bottoms, and a very big business. But it, like you say, he did something by hand.
Some folks have a proclivity for patterns.
I mean, I don't know if your listeners, I mean, I could say about this because I'm a math major and musician from math. When I'm interviewing you now, Chris, let's take 5 minutes. I'm going to interview you. You're coming out with a book about primes and the fact that there's a different higher prime than what's thought. Is that the summary of what you're doing?
Well, you know, actually, this is just a brief journal article. I mean, I appreciate the kudos there, but no, not a book. I listened to one mathematician once say, in math, we really prefer simplicity. We find an equation that's maybe a few lines long to be beautiful, but then we're expected to write a 200 or 300 page book around it. Hat tip to anyone who can pull that off, because there have been many folks who have, but I think I've made a couple of interesting breakthroughs just by looking at numbers in a different way. During his time, Christian Goldbach sent him a message known as the Goldbach conjecture and the weak Goldbach conjecture. Every prime number over the number 5 is comprised of 3 smaller primes, and it was recently proven, which a lot, even some folks in the math community are not aware of. So at any rate, I just extend that proof in reverse. I just traverse down the number line and make a couple of deductions, and it just works. But at least I think that it's interesting, and apparently a couple of journals do as well, and that's all that history will ever know about it.
Well, let me add another quote to you from Euler regarding this. You're going to love this. Quoted in G. Simmons' Calculus Gems from Leonard Euler, mathematicians have tried in vain to this day to discover some order in the sequence of prime numbers, and we have reason to believe that it is a mystery into which the human mind will never penetrate. And you are proving opposite.
Well, no, that's very kind of you, but I can tell you there are many other folks who I think have done a better job. But what I think is interesting, there is obviously order. Where I'm finding it is in the twin primes. I think of the twin primes as a marker. And if you take a look at Ulam's spiral, and wow, I'm really getting off topic here, there's obvious order within primes. In fact, I would say primes are the ultimate order.
It's an author named Mario Livio, senior astrophysicist, head of the Office of Public Outreach at Hubble in Baltimore, and he wrote several books, The Golden Ratio, which I highly recommend.
Golden Ratio.
The equation that couldn't be solved, and he wrote, Is God a Mathematician? really brilliant at it. Anyway, what he writes about is the number phi, and I hope your listeners haven't shifted off already, but they'll find it fascinating. And again, they should write to charlesnanner.com and say they heard this discussion between two crazy guys, Chris and David, and they want to see what we're talking about with our research. We know that the Fibonacci sequence, every number is the sum of the previous two. 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21. As you start to find the differences between the numbers and put one over the other, as you know, 3 over 5 is 0.6. 5 over 8 is 0.625, right? 8 over 13, 13 over 21. All those numbers after are around 0.618. That number is known as phi, the perfect number, right? It's interesting that in the Elliott wave analysis, one of the retracement levels is 0.618. The second one is 1.618. The other is 2.618. Now, if that's a pattern that Mr. Elliott found based on the Fibonacci that appears in markets, which we look at, there are other patterns as well. One of them is called cycles. What cycles, according to us, which is very important to understand, you can find an apple, which we called the top end 2 years ago, and it was 702, we said buy puts. Everybody thought we were crazy. I didn't do this. Charles comes up with this. I just am the mouthpiece, thank God. So we find cycles from equidistant top to tops in any data series. So therefore, if Apple originally was 90, then 100, then 200, then 300, let's say it topped at each $100 value, and the top was in an equidistant value also, I mean, it happened every 5 weeks, and then there was a top every 20 weeks and 50 weeks, and you drew all those sine curves together, like an EKG, a set of EKGs, and you overlaid them. Let's say they're all topping 2 years ago. That's what happened. All those cycles top for Apple, and that's how we were able to predict the top. And if you extrapolate that, that's what we do for everything in order to just get direction. Because it can't give you level, because if there was a top at 100, 200, 300, that mechanism can't give you level. It only gives you direction. It was made up of a lot of different levels. In order to give targets, that's a different algorithm. And we have a separate algorithm for targets. That's why we're very precise. We call the gold bounce from 12 up to 13. We said it's on a down move now. We think long-term it retests, ties, and goes past. And we're near a bottom, but we took everyone out of 1900. And I hope I just explained the basis of how we did it. Forward-looking, we're near a bottom in gold, a little bit further out in gold stocks. And we think we're going to retest the highs. I know you. I don't want to say anything, but I don't see it by next summer to be 2,400. But it will go back there, if not more so, over the next few years. Same with silver approaching 50, if not more.
I think the key walkaway here is timing is maybe a little more tricky than targets, and I think we have to be a little more patient. I think I agree with you there. At some point, when momentum kicks in, that's when it becomes more difficult, I think, to gauge just where the top. I think it'd be interesting to apply Fibonacci, the sequence, looking for forecasts, you know, on the upside.
Again, Elliott is one piece of finding levels. We don't use it as our main piece. We have a whole different way to find targets. And we like it to line up with the LA wave, but it's not the main thing that we use. And since, you know, stocks we do it for, we think we're near a top in stocks. Bonds we call the rally from the beginning. It's hitting a wall now, but it should come back into the summer. The VIX, which has been very low for a long time, that's a harbinger of trouble coming. And so stocks, bonds are going to, over the next 5 years, not be so pleasant. And They have kind of gone in the same direction the last 30. Think about it, from 81 till now, both bonds and stocks are up, but not always, because 87 gold stocks topped, 2000 stocks topped, 2007 they topped, but bonds have always been, that's how we look at it. Therefore, it's easy that they both go down. Now, what happens when they both go down? Not going to be pleasant.
Well, it's going to be pleasant in some market. There's always a bull market somewhere.
Well, yeah. There'll be. We think grains will be a bull market. We think the dollar will be a bear market. And that's why your listeners, and quite a few wrote in last time, should write in again and watch the research free for a month and see what we're saying about stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies, economic indicators, all the global macro-traded things.
But I'm thinking, though, that if the safe haven of bonds, some folks think of it as a safe haven, and stocks lose favor, that there are going to be huge money flows to the tune of trillions of dollars.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's another thing called currencies, and that is a huge factor. And that, actually, we send out, the first thing we send in the week, Sunday night, we send a bunch of charts around 6 p.m. Eastern time, because that's when the trading starts in the Far East. And it usually starts in currency trading, you know, and money goes so fast now, from currencies to bonds to stocks to commodities in 20 minutes, you know. So that's what, I didn't know this when we started. We have a lot of clients in the Far East also, and they're like waiting for that, even though we're not always on the Sunday work giving such short-term stuff. We're doing more longer-term stuff. We have a lot of clients in the Far East. Like, we have some of the sovereign wealth funds with $80 billion a few years ago asked us about copper. And I knew they wanted to go long. They don't usually tell us, but they said, we're thinking of buying a lot of copper, and we saw copper down for 2 years. We told them. I don't know if they listened, but we were right. So there's still deflation push, which is rather substantial. And, you know, that's why it's important to watch. It's kind of important that people stay very, very cautious.
Well, listen, let's move on to another interesting topic, gold stocks. And we've talked a little bit about commodities, and we've talked about stocks and bonds in general, the general equities markets. But, you know, a lot of our listeners are concerned about the XAU. It's been a very troubling 4 or 5 years in the sector. And some people are talking about a washout, capitulation. We've had Jim Rogers from his Singapore office here give us some ideas about what he sees, that eventually there should be a moment where investors just toss up their hands and say, we just can't take any more pain. Do you see a scenario like that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, but it's coming to an end soon. That's what we see. But being that we called the top, we might be able to call the bottom, but we do see that it's got another 100. I'm not talking XAU now, I'm talking gold. It's got another 100, 150 potential on the downside. But it's not like another 6 months to happen. We think gold stocks are bottoming in a few months, and gold possibly next month, but we'll see how they interplay. But we're near a bottom, and that's why, you know, we're not in, so we don't feel the pressure. A lot of people are, and that's why it's important, we think, to people to recognize the emotional cost of trading. Even if you do it well, you get exhausted. So is it worth it, so that when you're sitting there on a Monday, when you have other opportunities, you've been so tired from battling other things, you won't feel comfortable to take like a 10% of your money trade in something that should go because you're tired from doing the other thing. People never think about that, I think. And that's so important to factor that in. That's why the cycles help keep you to the sideline, which is another thing very difficult for those who stare at screens. How do you stand aside?
If I'm hearing you correctly, you know, we still have some more downside. I've been warning all my readers about this for a while. I mean, it clearly broke some important support in the last 2 weeks. You know, within the bigger picture, we have been meandering, sine waving within a large consolidation for about a year now.
Let me read you what we wrote yesterday, so you get an idea in the update, which comes out 3 times a week. Gold, we saw the expected weakness in gold. Sell signal continues. Doesn't mean go short. Just a sell signal, mean not being on a, don't be long. And those who are adept traders can be short, but not everybody has the same skill. However, some short-term cycles bottomed again. Therefore, based on these cycles, we expect to see a short-term bounce till the end of the week, especially when we see a close above 1260. That's June contract. Silver. Since silver cycles seem to bottom earlier than gold and is getting closer to a downside target of around 1830, so far silver saw an intraday low of 1860. Close above 1945 is the first signal we've seen the low. That's how we write. We assume everyone has ADD. They have 14 seconds to read it. That's what we see. And that's why people like it, because it takes 4 minutes to read the whole thing. You know, it takes us 3 hours to write it and make it seem like it took 14 minutes. And I edit it, so at least wrote this for Goldman, 6 pages every day, 4 charts a day. His boss was head of global macro trading and said, no one's paying any attention, write it on one page. It's Goldman Sachs, right? So he turned it into this. This is what it became. We think this is the bottom. We called the top after 10 years of, you know, going up, so we might be right with the bottom. Yeah, so we don't think it's a continued trend, but we do think there's deflation in other things. The dollar will be deflating. Stocks will be deflating, not Apple, but stocks, meaning crashing. It's not always that case.
Correlations, they break down all the time.
Right, so that's why cycles tell you how they dealt with it in the past. I'll give you an example. Your listeners should go Google 100-year war cycle. 100 years ago was World War One. What do you find? 100 years ago was World War One. 200 years ago, there was a song written called The War of 1812, The Overture of the War of 1812.
Ah, interesting. Yes, yes, yes.
1716, yes. There was a war.
Ah.
1611. And this goes back for the last 1,000 years, second decade of every century, there was a war. Good at deprived, Chris, right? So it basically, that's what Charles said 3 years ago, there's going to be wars. Now, he wasn't looking at that cycle. He was looking at other cycles. And look what's happening. Mr. Putin is not sitting around playing tennis all day. China and Japan are not exactly having the greatest love affair right now. There's a war going on in Africa. Turkey's cutting off the water supply of Syria. I don't know if everybody knows this.
I am quite familiar with his forecast on war. Now, the last time that it wouldn't be apparent until, let's say, 2015, 2016, but to the more astute, they're going to see signs of potential global war as soon as the end of this year or early next year. The last time I checked, he was talking about the potential for nuclear war, and he's very concerned about the Middle East.
It's not a two-minute conversation, probably not for the show, but if we're talking about markets and what effect it has when we see things heading down, we don't know what causes it. That could be what causes it. And it could be flu. You know, there was a time not that long ago, 50 million people died of a flu. It wasn't that was in this century. Nobody remembers. Nobody thinks about it. So that's the type of stuff we think about. Very, you're not going to see it in the press. You're not going to hear about it much because, you know, people don't want to hear it. The same thing here, but it seems to be that patterns repeat. How else could we predict what we do? And, you know, this is very different. We don't see a trend being the same as a cycle because a trend is part of the cycles, but how else can you see around the corner if you just follow a trend or like a 200-day moving average crossing the 50-day, creating what is known as the gold.
But I believe that if you really scale up and you look at, let's say you've got a trend in a much lower time frame, that if you're really going to have to, you know, be Mandelbrot for a minute, and you're going to have to scale up fractally, 2, 3, 4-fold up, but you're going to notice that trend is little more than a cycle, but it is a huge cycle. You might think of it as a Kondratiev wave.
There are multiple cycles. There's cycles based on daily data, based on weekly data, based on monthly, based on quarterly, based on yearly. We try and have them all line up because that's where, if they all line up, you have almost a 95% trade.
Well, I'm thinking more in terms of relativity. I'm thinking in terms of Einstein's relativity, that it's really your perspective, where you're standing, and the speed at which you're viewing the markets that would reflect whether or not we give it the moniker trend. A trend is really a cycle, but it looks like a trend simply because it's stretched out and long. But if you step way back, I mean, you'd almost have to use your refracting telescope to see it. This is just a portion of the curve of a much larger cycle.
No, that's well put. And again, what happens when you have many cycles and then they're all lining up or they're crossing and conflicting, our attitude is stand aside.
This really begs the question. Why do we have so many cycles? Is it cosmologically based? Is it sociologically based?
We don't know the answer, but it seems, it's a very good question, but it seems to be that humans assume they have free choice. You know, you go say, I like vanilla ice cream. Reality is God created your tongue to prefer vanilla. You know, I don't like strawberry. So to say I want vanilla, I'm choosing vanilla. No, I don't. My tongue doesn't like strawberry. So maybe in the bigger picture, what we think is the free choice, given that we tend to repeat, look at this 100-year war cycle that I just mentioned, we tend to repeat things in patterns. So if that's the case, maybe we don't have the free choice we think.
But do you not worry that there might be forces at play here? And I don't want to get too conspiratorial, but, you know, one almost wonders, well, is society being manipulated by those in higher places who recognize this tendency and are playing on it?
To your question, they don't have the power to change those bigger forces. They don't, may not be aware of it and think they're manipulating. You know, there was a flash crash 2 years ago. If you remember, there was a flash crash last night in Russia, by the way. The market did. The next day, Charles sent something out. You know, we're talking about Elliott before. 0.618, 1.618. There's also one of the ratios that it moves is 4.2. Do you know that flash crash was not random? It was an exact 4.2 times retracement. But therefore, it may have looked like a flash out of the blue exogenous event, right? But it fell into a great pattern that has existed forever. That's why we're crazy enough to try and predict things.
You're not as sanguine as we are here. I mean, you're afraid that this ultimately ends badly. We've had Harry S. Dent Jr. on the show. He is firmly in your camp that when this ends, we could be looking at as low as 3,000 on the Dow Jones Industrial.
Well, that we don't know, but it's going to head down a lot over the next 5 years. I think grain stocks could be up. You know, there could be food inflation very much. You know, that's kind of what we see pretty soon.
But don't you think that the Fed at some point, I mean, they're going to try to step in just like they have every single time before?
I don't think they're going to be able to do anything. Let me answer your question a different way. When cycles are moving a certain way, they think they can do it. But when cycles go the other way, even if they attempt to do something, they won't be able to affect it. And so it's still cycles. It's just that we attribute a lot of power to a man-made group called the Fed. Or a person, Janet Yellen or Bernanke. You know, Charles likes to point out Greenspan, when he spoke to Congress a long time ago, said, you know, there are cycles we can't do anything about. So, which, look, we're only human, right? And humans fall into patterns. That's kind of what we're saying. There's no power out there that can manipulate to... It may seem like they're doing it, but they're not. And that's why it's important to watch the research over time to see that it tends to be quite accurate. And, you know, that's why people have a hard time saying, how can you disregard the news? I'll give you an example. I'm not going to say the station, but, you know, we're pretty well known in the financial markets all over. There's one station that won't have us on unless we want to come on when they want to say gold is either top or bottom. Now, here people are watching, and they see a guy saying, gold's topping because of this. That show wanted to show gold topping. They weren't reporting a guy saying it. They had an agenda where they wanted to present. So there's a lot of misinformation based on those types of stations. Again, I'm not going to say what it is. But we've turned those down because I always say, look, why don't you ask what we say rather than tell us what we should say? And so that's why I think the media, very often, you're not the case because you're alternative. You know, they are often looking to present a case that's not the truth.
Well, you know, we all have our perspectives. I mean, I think that's obvious. I mean, look at big industry outlet. I mean, they're primarily on the air. They have jobs. Their kids are going to college because, well, they're promoting services.
Yeah, they're very pro stocks. They don't want to hear bad stuff.
Exactly. And but you know, we've had so much bad news here, I'm very sad to say, in this sector for the last 2.5 years, that anyone who comes on board and says, it looks like a bottom here, you've just made new friends.
Oh, I know. By the way, but listen, I'm only telling them what we see. I'm not doing it to make them feel better. It's interesting that, you know, we have clients in 50 countries at least. And I speak to a lot of them. We have a whole team of people speaking to people. We don't manage money, so we're very honest.
Don't confuse brains with the bull market.
Totally. Also, if Apple's topping, if you have $50 million in it, doesn't keep it up.
This is my favorite trade of the year. We got in Apple about 70 points ago. Have you seen this incredible new technology? They've got their hands on more of the patents and copyrights on this new wafer technology. And so people are going to be wearing computers to the tune of more than our desktops in the next few decades.
2 years ago, this wouldn't have happened because cycles were topping. See, here we have a fundamental discussion. You just made a fundamental statement, which is true. And I'm saying timing-wise, this wouldn't happen in a cycle top. It would be happening in a cycle bottom. And so take that and apply it across the board and everything.
David Gerwitz, a fascinating discussion. We certainly appreciate your wealth of knowledge. And I wonder if you could give us some parting comments here where our listeners need to be watching anything we haven't covered. And then, of course, tell us more about the services you provide at Charles Nenner.
Just everyone listening should write to the site, say you and I spoke about these math things and occasionally markets, and they want to see what we do. And they'll get a free look for a month. And then if they're interested, we'll be in touch and they could, you know, purchase the research, which covers stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies, economic indicators. What are we saying? That stocks, after a five-year run-up, we called the bottom in 2009. We have not been long the whole time. We were long most of it. I don't know many people that caught the whole thing, but we caught most of it. And there was a period we thought there was a top, and then a month later we switched. You know, but not everybody caught that we switched. So, but we were human. But nonetheless, we called most of this run-up, and we're near a top. And look what happened last year. The earnings were up 6%. Market was up 30. And everyone thought it would continue. And then all of a sudden it didn't. And we said be long bonds from the beginning of this year, which has been a great call until now. And so you get all this from the update. So stocks are toppy. Bonds, have a, even though they're hitting a top now, have a ways to go till the end of the summer. And then that's it. And then gold is near a bottom. Silver is near a bottom. You know, crude, we have a... We have a downside and an upside that's been in that range for 3 years since we called the top at 147, went down 100 points. And then it's been in this range in between, and it's important to watch because it's really been in the trading range. We think nat gas will go down quite a bit once it gets to that top, even though it has been in a strong move for a while. And then currencies are going to be quite interesting. We kept everyone from shorting the euro about a year and a half ago when Europe looked like it was going to fall apart. And then the Aussie and the Canadian, when they were 68 cents to the dollar 4 or 5 years ago, we said they would go to par, and they did. So I think it's important that people watch and be patient because a lot of this stuff's been sideways. And that's very hard for people to be patient because they feel obligated to do something. And that's something we are very cautious to say, don't feel you have to jump in. Better to wait for a strong bottom or a strong top and do less trades, more stronger. And so far, our business has shown it. We have a client base all over the world, and we're in the media quite a bit, and we, thank God, have had people hear our view that the cycles generate the news interpretation rather than the other way around.
We recognize the fact that you are observing an important religious holiday beginning this evening. David Gerwitz, we want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Chris. Always a pleasure. I look forward to the next time.